Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we are bringing on Lisa Haven. She is a media barnstormer. She has just really taken off in the media space. And when you look at her numbers, I'm talking about YouTube numbers because that's the only numbers we really get accurate numbers for. She is beating NBC, ABC, Fox News by 3 to 5 times on an average video. Her average videos get the same as InfoWars average videos. And everybody knows how popular InfoWars is on YouTube. She's really dominating the space. She also gets about, well, Young Turks claims that they have, you know, worldwide the most subscribers in the world. And she's getting about half of their average videos, which is amazing. Her subscribers is well over a couple hundred thousand. But NBC, ABC, all those big channels, Young Turks, InfoWars, they all have millions of subscribers. And with her couple hundred subscribers, her videos get, you know, like I was saying, 3 to 5 times more than ABC, NBC, Fox News, the same as InfoWars, who have, you know, millions of subscribers. The difference, I believe, is that her subscribers are really loyal and people look for her information. And I think what it's pointing to is a big void in the media space. She's bringing forth a lot of information that the mass media and even other alternative stations will not bring forward. She's not afraid to go after controversial issues, and therefore she's just starting to dominate the space. There's a big void and she's filling it, and people love her. It's really interesting. I love her attitude. I love the fact that she's just going after things. She's not afraid to go after controversial issues. And she's very dedicated to doing what she believes is right and bringing the information in a truth-based way, meaning that she won't bring something forward unless she finds it in a document. Now, her interpretations, you can go either way. You might not interpret things the same way as her. I don't interpret things all the same way as her either. But I get so much information from her, and I know I can trust at least the facts that she's bringing to the table because I know she does her homework. So I'm really impressed with her, and so I wanted to bring her on and talk to her about what drives her, what she thinks about, and some of her more controversial issues we dive into, like the depopulation agenda, what she thinks of that, and also her views on nationalism, which I don't think is all that controversial, but in today's political climate, it has been. So we're going to talk about that as well. So let's not waste much more time and let's get into the interview now with Lisa Haven. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
You are amazing. Your show, I was looking over stats. I was looking over subscribers. I was comparing you to what they claim is the top 20 news shows in the world. And you are 2 to 3 up to 5 times more than like ABC, NBC, Fox News, those guys. And then you're on par with InfoWars, your average video. Sure, there's certain videos that they might have go viral, but your average everyday video gets the same views as them. And they are, you know, one of the largest out there, if not the largest out there. Young Turks, they claim, is worldwide the largest, and you're about half their videos. Your subscribers are less, which, you know, you wonder how they get their subscribers, but you have a loyal following because your subscribers watch. So how do you feel about your popularity and where you're at? Are you reaching the number of people you would like to reach, or where are you at with that?
Well, you know, whether it's 5 people or 1 million people, and all of it's amazing, but my heart of the matter is to share truth no matter where it lies. And so that's kind of what I started with going in, is there's so much out there that people just say, oh, this is going on, this fact is happening, and that fact is happening. So they'll share all these details, but there's never, ever tangible evidence saying, oh, look, this is the document I grabbed that from. Oh, look, here's the report. Now, most of it's just take my word for it, and we're good. Yay! You know? So you have a lot of this propaganda style stuff going, and I'm just so sick and tired of it. And I'm a researcher at heart, so my goal of this is let's see and read those actual documents and prove to people what's really going on. And what I did when I started reading all these reports, I read internment and resettlement, civil labor camps. I've read recently, there's a FEMA document that's not out yet that will come out in the couple weeks that I just read, Agenda 2030, Agenda 21. I mean, I've read hundreds of these things. And what I came to the realization of is a lot of what they're saying on the mainstream media is nothing but lies. And it frustrates me because then that shows that there's an absolute agenda going on. And so my heart is, and I love everybody out there. I mean, I think it's amazing the amount of people that follow my channel. They're a huge blessing because the bigger we grow and the bigger we grow together as truther channels, what you do, what I do, multiple other YouTubers out there who are attempting to share truth, I hope we all grow together. That's my goal. And just kind of share truth and say, look at how many people were waking up. And I think that's part of what sparked the movement here in the future. I mean, look at the president we got elected now. We have Donald Trump in office, which is far from where we were 15 years ago. And I think that's partially due to people like yourself, people like me, just having the heart to get things out. But thankfully, people out there are just willing to listen with open heart. And my job that I feel, you know, is let me prove it to you so you don't have to take anybody's word for it. So that's kind of the idea that I ran with in the beginning. And now I just do as best as I can. I think we all do. But yeah, so.
Well, your show has a religious element to it. And it, for some reason, it didn't used to be like this. Even, you know, 40 years ago, it was not like this. But now religious elements or religion is polarizing. Why do you think that is, and why should that not be like that?
Well, I think at the heart of, you know, at least Christianity and other religions out there, it's, you know, be kind to others, do unto others as you want them to do unto you, this kind of mentality. And a lot of people will say, oh, well, you're a Christian. I'm not, you know, going to listen to that mumble jumble. It's been going on for years. Well, the reason that I am a Christian, first and foremost, is, you know, a lot of the biblical prophecy that's spoken of in the Bible, we actually do see it coming to pass. That's a fact. And if it wasn't so in your face, I think people could discount Christianity a lot easier. But it's getting harder the more that you go into the days and whatnot ahead. And so I bring that element into it and say, do you see what I see? You know, here's what the Bible says. Here's what's happening. Do you see the correlation? And that's simply my idea there. And I don't think it should all be polarizing. Well, this is my religion and that's your religion and blah, blah, blah. You know, I have friends of every race, color, creed, and religion. You know, I don't say, oh, well, I'm a Christian and I'm not going to be your friend because you're a Jew or a Muslim or a Catholic. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's just that, oh, well, you know, God, I don't think God wants this tension in and of Christianity along with other religions. And so a lot of the times, and you know, not every topic is on that. I mean, I share news and then when it's applicable, I add that in. And so I think that ultimately the thing that needs to be looked at is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, because that is the core of many religions, Christianity in particular.
Don't you think that religion is a true person who believes in all the different religions, it's ultimately about acceptance and love. And so you wouldn't be rejecting anyone. You're just sharing your own beliefs.
Yeah. So you're not saying, oh, well, I don't like you. You don't like me, blah, blah, blah. No, I have many people who are not Christians who are friends of mine. Jesus didn't do that. He went and ate with the tax collectors and everybody else. It was some of his disciples that had issues with me, and he criticized his disciples for having an issue with it. And that's the problem that I think a lot of the world sees, is it's unfortunate, but there is a lot of hypocrisy in the church. There is a lot of judgment in the church, and that's the truth. And I don't like it. As a Christian, I frown on that and I don't like it. And that's not who I am. And so, yeah, but again, like you said, I think the core of it is you know, love and being honorable and telling the truth, these kinds of things that we see at the very core.
You are not afraid to go after controversial issues, and you'll hit them straight on. Why is it so important to go after those controversial issues and not shy away from issues that just happen to be very controversial?
Yeah, I get a lot of heat for some of the issues that I bring up, but here's the way that I see it is it boils down to truth. Is it true? Yeah, okay. And that's kind of my borderline for that. Or in some cases, if it's fear, like a possibility of something that could happen, I'll say that. I'll say, okay, well, a lot of people feel this way. Is this actually possible? Well, yeah, it is. So that's what, and after reading, again, hundreds of these documents and putting them all together, you get a bigger picture of when you read one report, you get an idea, because I've read hundreds now, where the pie is easier to be put together, if you will. But yeah, I don't think people should shy away from these, quote, controversial issues, because they can't be ignored. If we ignored some of the things like chemtrails or GMOs or FEMA camps or whatever the certain topic is, well, what happens is it will continue to drop on our heads, like geoengineering. I mean, this kind of aluminum, barium, strontium, it's actually not a theory. It's a fact. I've got blood reports, which I've shown on my channel, blood work from hundreds of people, at least in my area and in the California area, showing and stating otherwise, and water samples. But if we ignore some of the controversial issues, then what good is it going to do the future generations? So, I mean, my thing is let's just be blunt about it and face it head on, because I think in our generation, that's the direction we need to go.
Well, don't you think that getting these conversations out there into the public, and if they're not bad, then let's say something isn't what we think it is, and it's getting all this bad press from the alternative media, and there it's black on the other side. Well, then start talking about it. Educate us. Let's have that debate, because if it's good for us, then debate us. Bring it out there and show us what it is. But to be dark on it is not helping anybody. Do you think that the average person is having a hard time accepting some of these issues, though, because there's so much, such a blackout on so many of these controversial issues?
Yeah. I mean, I have trouble sometimes convincing my friends. But now I have my files. I'm like, well, let me show you the file. And they're like, okay, I believe you. Like, after I've shown them file upon file, but not everybody has the ability to do that, obviously. And I wouldn't expect people to have the ability to do that. So it's hard. It is, because a lot of people are what we call the normalcy bias. They're pretty happy in their little bubble. And if nothing is infecting that bubble right now, then they don't care much about a do. This is partially due to the mentality that's been taught on television and the mainstream media is, you know, let's keep everybody entertained to death. Let's keep everybody so busy that they have nothing to do with the do in politics. So they stay out of it altogether. They say, well, I'm going to go see my thing over here and ignore this other side. I mean, there's good. We need to have entertainment, obviously, but there is an over amount where we're just entertained to death and we ignore what's going on the other side. And I think it's one of those lines that we need to get back to a happy medium and say, you can't ignore these things. And just wake up people with little things. You know, did you know, share statistical facts, whatever they are. Did you know blah, 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 or did you know this and that? And that's going to be the start of it. Give them a little taste and, about what's going on in your school districts or whatever the case may be, because there are lots of things going on in locally in each city that you can start with the local things and then move on to the bigger things, if you will. So that's kind of it. But we need to win those people, which I think opening up more channels like yours and mine is a big part of that, and sharing those, especially ones that have the tangible evidence to show people, because people in our generation, we need that, because there's so much lies and so much propaganda.
Yeah, the propaganda is over the top. But, you know, we as a country, we used to be different. We used to be much more educated. I had someone tell me that, and I agree with this, that the average European taxi driver is more educated than a graduate student or somebody with a graduate degree here in the United States. We just don't get the information. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it is, I mean, they've a common core, communist core. It's dumbed down America. That's the ultimate goal. These states for many years, they spend 10, 15 years on putting a curriculum together for their state. And then they threw it out the door for a curriculum that wasn't even really monitored or sought after, but put together in a year or so and just sent out. It wasn't officially tested or anything like that. Why? Well, because it had a progressive socialist communist style agenda, tyrannical agenda, and they cared not about the actual education. And what we're seeing as a result is a dumbed down population.
Yeah, because these states put years upon years, they were trying, when you push things down to the local level, people really want their kids educated. So they're going to put a lot of time and effort into making their school systems really good. So when they get crammed down their throat something at an internet, at a national level, I would think that would just create so much anger, but it just doesn't have the same quality either.
Yeah, I agree. And what it's actually a United Nations style curriculum. That's where the birth of Common Core was. So we're implementing some kind of international legislation. So we have this almost anti-America global governance, New World Order style agenda being pushed into schools. Because the one thing that I've noticed is in a lot of the schools, they have UN Model America, I think is the name of the club. But they have clubs here in my school with that. And it pushes this global mentality, but what you don't see very often is an American class. Let's talk about Constitution, Bill of Rights, any of that, it's out the door. Why? Because we have globalists running the country, trying to pull the strings in every department. I mean, there's good and bad, obviously, on both sides. There's good government, bad government, globalist, American, we got both. But the truth of the matter is they're trying to make everyone global citizens. And as Obama has said before, we have to give up some of our sovereignty in order to join this international order. And I'm not willing to do that.
So where do you think globalism is good? I mean, it's not all bad. We all want to get along and we want to be able to trade with different countries and so forth. So where is globalism good? And then where is it that it's just, this is not what we're about and it's going to hurt our freedoms and our individuality?
Yeah, it's good to, I guess, get along with and have certain agreements like, okay, well, war-wise, we'll trade with you, you trade with us. I think sanctions are sometimes necessary. You have to have relationships with other countries in order to ease the water. Those are good things. I promote that. I promote getting along with other countries. Nothing wrong with that. Where the problem therein lies is when our country is trying to unite with, say, an Arabic country that believes in Sharia law and pushes Sharia law, who stones a woman simply because she doesn't have her garb on, or she commits a sin of adultery, or whatever the case may be, where it's okay to stone a woman, or we have another country that just has outlandish laws. Each country has different sets of laws. Some are outlandish. And if you're trying to pull this together, well, America, I believe, has some of the best laws around. So as Obama said, the problem is when they try to merge us as a unit, we have to accept these international laws that are always, always freedom stealing. And then absolute power corrupts absolutely. So eventually, if they form some kind of, and they already kind of have it at the United Nations, and we've seen it here in America. We see the problem is they bring it in here to our schools as globally minded. So not only are we giving up sovereignty, but eventually our laws will change to adapt to a happy medium of these countries around. So we're all adapting a mediocre kind of thing. And eventually, if we look to history, Nero being one of those, multiple others, never in history has one to rule them all. Or one that had major, massive portions of the country turned out to be a good thing ever, 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 ever. And we have to look at history. And I think people are not as educated as we should be when it comes to history. I mean, when I was a kid, I hated history. Go figure. I don't now, but that's what it is. We just don't have to look that far to say, holy cow, that's what it was back then. Look what's going to happen today. Look where we're headed this day. But it always comes with suppression, tyranny, dictators fighting each other because you have one upset because he's not as high as the other, which forms into complete and utter chaos. And, you know, so these kinds of things are things that we need to watch out for. And they're already kind of pushing it. They want a governing body. I mean, they have a governing body, but they always want a smaller one and they always want to bring it in. And so eventually, it just has to boil down with power and corruption and unelected bureaucrats. That's a big, when we have United Nations, we didn't elect anybody there. We don't have any say in who is at the UN. So who could be running the country? Well, we don't know. It could be somebody from Israel or Pakistan or who don't, you know, or Saudi Arabia or Iraq, Iran or Greece. But what policies are they going to push? And when you have no say and I have no say, well, we've thrown everything that makes America great out the door.
Well, when you think about the United Nations, they have these really great PR campaigns. But you look at the fact that they put Saudi Arabia in charge of human rights.
Yes.
I mean, or women's rights, how do you, what is that?
No, I know. My dog hears your dog, so he's going off.
I thought that was what was happening. My daughter's home. She's supposed to stop that stuff.
It's all good. He's usually good, but he heard your dog. He's all, ooh. But yeah, it's so true. And they put him in charge. I'm like, what is wrong with people? I mean, look what they do in Saudi Arabia to their women. Their women are highly, highly mistreated. And you're going to put somebody at the Human Rights Division who believes that way? That's the sort of thing that I'm talking about. And as we see right now with the Saudi Arabia guy in there, it will happen again.
Well, you have to look at not what they say, but what they do, right? Yeah. Because what they say, you can say anything. You say what you want to say to make everybody feel good and that, you know, we got to go in this direction because it feels good. But if you're doing something else, then you got to question what the heck. And I think that's what we're talking about here. They're saying one thing that sounds really great, but they're doing something else. And that's why we have to bring and shed light onto all this.
Agreed. 100%.
Well, what do you say about the criticism that doom and gloom gets clicks and that there's so much doom and gloom, but the good stuff doesn't get the clicks and that we're not balancing out the good that is going on. What is your assessment of all that?
Well, for starters, let's just be frank with the truth of the matter. If you have something about, you know, hey, you know, you won a marathon or America ranks first place in education, great, okay, move on. Or you have a title, America's crashing in the economy. I mean, which are you going to click on? I mean, the truth is you're going to go to one versus the other. That's human nature, I think. You know, from the get-go, it's unfortunate. But as far as the doom and gloom aspect of it, I mean, you can say that to everything from TV to media to, I mean, it's in everything. And, you know, the problem is it's not all doom and gloom. And I think we do need to have a happy medium of positive and negative, because otherwise we can fall into everybody's scared in this pit of suppression, which I want to stay very, very far away from, because that is not what God intended. That is not what I intend. My intent is, let's not ignore stuff, even though sometimes it may sound scary. And there's scary, the truth is there's scary stuff that's, you know, we face every single day. I mean, I'm not saying this will happen. So for example, you know, we could get hit by an asteroid in a week, you know, is it a real threat? Yeah. Is it going to happen? Likely not, you know, at least not this week or whatever, you know, or a volcano could go off and kill a lot of people. Is it a real thing. Yeah, it could happen, but it's probably not going to happen near you, or, you know, so, or a tsunami could hit, or a tornado, or whatever. I mean, there's lots of things, natural things, war, could one country get ticked off and set off a nuke? Well, you know, Kim Jong-un's a little nutty. So we just don't know. But the fact is, just to be aware and understand that's going on, but not to be afraid. And I know I get called a fearmonger. Oh, she's a fearmonger. I think anybody who is really sharing the truth, they're going to put that label on. And I think the reason is because the mainstream media, they water it down a lot for that reason. I think they don't want to cause fear, but at the same time, they are hiding what's really going on. And so, and they don't share any good really either. I mean, every once in a while you hear a good report, but they're very, let's ignore certain topics, let's do this. And so they're catering to that mentality. And I don't cater to one mentality or another. It's just, I'm going to share it. And if it happens to be fearful, I'm sorry, it's not my intent, but that's what's going on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense because, you know, there was a report done by Harvard showing that the mass media, the majority of, vast majority of the reporting is negative. So they do the same thing. It's just the alternative media, or the other media, if you will. I wouldn't even say it's alternative. I don't like that word anymore because I think it's just the media. But they're getting to, there are some bad media. Let's face the truth. There are some stuff that isn't based on truth. But some of the truths, if you haven't heard it before, it can get kind of scary. And some of the, with technology, there's always a light and dark side with technology. And that's a lot of some of the stuff I'm covering too is, you know, there's a tsunami of change coming. And there's a light side and a dark side. And I think people are getting fearful, and the millennials, their stress is off the charts. So I think the important thing is not to hide it, but to cover it and then deal with it. We're not dealing with it. That's what the problem is, I think. Do you agree with that? Or do you have a more evolved opinion on what's going on?
No, I agree with it. That's the thing. The culture has been taught to not mess with it unless it's in their bubble. And so, again, the normalcy bias is there. And so when we come out and say, look, this is what's going on and that's what's going on. Uh-oh, you've affected my bubble. And so now their bubble's popping and they don't like it. And so a lot of what you hear is you're a fearmonger because you've impacted that bubble that they're perfectly fine living in. Well, that's a good thing. I want to impact you, your bubble, so you wake up. So a lot of the people who are out there saying you're a fearmonger are those bubbles who still have yet to pop, or, you know, or who are just, they're uncomfortable with that feeling because they've been told everything's happy hunky-dory in their little bubble. Even though you hear bad and negative on the mainstream media, they water it down to such an epic detail where it's not going to impact you and you can continue to live your life. And my hope is let's pop that bubble because we need to fix what's going on in politics. We need to wake up to everything that's happening. Otherwise, we're headed to a very bad place for our children's children. And that's what I don't want. I want to keep my freedoms. I want to keep my First and Second Amendment, all my amendment rights. And if we don't wake those up, we could lose them.
Well, don't you think that hiding from it is just bad? If we just address this stuff straight on, then it's not, you have the courage and you address it straight on, then we start to fix these problems and the fear will start to subside because we'll understand it and we know that we're actually solving the problems and we have more control over our destiny. Whereas right now, we're just completely out of control. And if you look at the our child welfare system, I've done a lot of coverage on our child welfare system, and I know you've done a lot on pedophilia and stuff, but it is just ripe for people taking advantage of children. We have so many issues that if we can just start to look at them and face them head on, we'll solve these problems and we'll be a better country for that.
I agree 100%. And a lot of those issues, they do get ignored, and it's unfortunate. And that's what I want to prevent. I would love for people, you know, we're going to have to go out of our comfort zones. We're going to have to get out there and be politically active. And most people's response is that, well, I don't have time. Well, you don't have to be as active as I am or as you or somebody else, but you need to do a little something because we're at that critical point. And I think we're living in an information war right now. I 100% think that there is an info war going on. That's why CNN and MSNBC, ABC, and all of them are attempting to label us as fake, because they want to shut us down because they want the sole power. When in reality, people are starting to see what they're really doing and see the scum for who they really are. Project Veritas just released a whole bunch of bombshells on CNN alone. I wish everyone in America saw those, but of course, they're not going to play them on any mainstream media outlet because it proves that what they're doing is completely and utterly fake and should be exposed. So that's kind of...
And I think it's too bad because I think there are really good people in the mass media who want to do good work and they're just fed garbage. And so they have to, and they need to make a living and make money. But it's, so I don't think everyone's bad, and we're not saying that. It's just that the agenda, the truth agenda, being able to debate things is where we need to get to.
Yeah. Well, Saudi owns, like a Saudi Arabian, I think, is who owns Fox. And there's only like six or seven-ish big companies that own the media. And they're told, you can't talk about this. You can't do that. This has to be approved. And it's a business, as they said. So they are only allowed to say certain things. But as you said, there are a lot of people in there who are good people and have a good heart. But they are told what they can and cannot report on and what they can and can't say. We're not.
Yeah, we're free. Okay, so one of your, this is what freedom looks like.
Yeah.
One of your featured stories, we're going to dive into some of your stuff here. One of your featured stories is on the depopulation agenda and of the world elite. Why do you think the elite want to depopulate the country? And what kind of evidence do you see that this is going on? And how do you think they're going about doing this?
Lots of different ways. It's a big question to answer, and I'll try to answer it in a little size. But it starts with NSSM 200, also known as the Kissinger Report. Now, this is the report I've read in its entirety. It's not too big. If people want to Google it and read it, I encourage you to do so. But this entire document, written by Kissinger during the Nixon years, first details the human problem. And that is what we are labeled. We are labeled a problem, humanity's issue. And so all of a sudden, this is back again in Nixon years, humanity has become an issue because we're overpopulated, which is the Thomas Matthias lie from the get-go. I don't believe we're overpopulated. I mean, I did a report once, and I got to remember, I think all of us could fit in the state of Texas with a little house on a yard. Everybody in the world, like, to give you an idea of what that looks like. But so I don't believe that particular level of it, obviously, but that's where it spawns from. And then from there, the Kissinger report saying humanity is a problem, and it also entertains the idea of using food as a weapon. Well, we might get to the point, this is the report, it says that we might get to the point where we'll have to ration food out and use food as a weapon, basically. That's what it's talking about. Fast forward a little bit, this NSSM 200, the Kissinger report, also at the end of it, well, not fast forward, I'm backing up, but also at the end of the report, it says, well, we need to have this world meeting on it. So all these world leaders gathered together during that report and met, kind of like, you know, the summits we have today, but they all met and they called it a world meeting, or there was a name for it in the document and I'm blanking on the name, but they all met. And at this event, they each spoke of, and this is in the Kissinger report and also in the report that came out of that meeting, but they talked about, well, each country needs to handle population, the human problem, in their own way. This is what they distinguished as the end result of this meeting. Africa, president at the time, was told, well, we're not going to tell you how to handle the human problem. You just figure that out. And so each country, that was kind of the mentality that was left. Eventually, we had Agenda 21 come up, which is, you know, burst again on that same vein. And I've read this entire report, and the entire report is pushing abortion, pushing women out of the home and into the workforce, pushing the homosexual agenda, things that would encourage people not to have babies. Usually, you know, a homosexual couple can't physically have kids, so they're led to adoption. If the mom's out of the workforce, she can't have, she doesn't want as many kids because she's working in the workplace. Abortion, obviously, is a big one pushed. Contraceptives in the school was pushed. So all these ideas were underlined ideas out of Agenda 21 that could be applied to all countries abroad, which is the idea and something, again, from Agenda 21. Now, with all of that in play, we also have things like the Georgia Guidestones, which people speculate, well, they want, you know, what is it, 5 million, 500 I'm blanking. What's the number?
I don't remember what it was, but I know. Yeah. I'll put a little picture of it up here at this point.
Yeah. And so that's where they said they want to limit the population. And I've done reports on that briefly. But I just, you know, my focus is let's focus on the actual tangible data that they have out there. But we've actually seen this play out. So after reading all of these things, you can see, okay, let's go to Africa and see how they're doing it. Well, we know a lot of the African people's dying due to AIDS, dying due to hunger. Obviously, that works for that country, and that's how they're taking care of some of the human issues. Here in America and European countries, we see a little different attack. We see, you know, high amounts of the drugs and stuff, the pharmaceutical drugs, majorly pushed with all these side effects, death being one of them. So it's like you give up one thing for this particular side effect. We have fluoride in the water, which is a stimulant, and it could stop. This is why there has been an increase in women's ability to have children. It's because there's stimulants in the water, stimulants coming out of the plane. We have chemicals falling from the skies. And this is obvious what they're doing here, and they're doing it under the radar, and that's why they don't stop it. If you go back 150 years before this Kissinger report, before any of this Agenda 21, cancer was low. Autism was not even on the radar. You know, all these sicknesses that we have today were not here, and now they're here 100-fold. And imagine what that looks like in 50 years from now. I mean, well, really. So
it's really obvious that we have an increase in autism. We have an increase in obesity. We have an increase in diabetes. We have, I mean, it's kind of across the board. All you have to do is look around, and we have obesity problems and all of the sicknesses that come with that. But let's go down to, this is where people will give you the pushback, and so I want to address all these different things, like contraceptives. You know, this is why it works. Their agenda works, or why something. I see. I don't put it past crazy, power-hungry people to do just amazing things. When you look at what's going on in Syria and how we're slaughtering people, and the wars that have gone on, we know that people are capable of doing amazingly evil things. But I am not convinced that the average person is, right? And so how do you get the average person to do stuff? Well, a lot of these things make sense, right? Contraceptives make sense. Birth control, or even abortion can, I know that's a hard subject, but I can see how all that stuff can make sense. Homosexuality, you know, people are homosexuals, you know? And then we talk about inclusion and all these things. So where do you think it is where it's people, where we really want some of these things to be part of our society versus it's actually a depopulation agenda? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, you know, I hear you. I mean, obviously contraceptives are needed, like some of that stuff, obviously. But at the same aspect, it's increased 100-fold, you know, so it's like advertised everywhere and anywhere you go. And I'm a woman in the workforce, you know, I have kids, but I'm also a woman in the workforce. But it's not just that, it's that they take it above and beyond with the chemicals, with the fluoride, with the dumbing down, with the stimulants. And so in addition to that, because that wasn't enough to push those ideals, and they're really breaking up the family, which you break up the family, you're going to have less politically active people. And that's kind of what it boils down to, is let's break up the family and this is how we do it. And, you know, and so, I mean, the ultimate agenda is control. I think it was Henry Kissinger that said, and I've played the clip numerous times on my channel, you may have also, but it's easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. And that's his exact quote, I believe, if I'm saying it right. But basically what it boils down to is, if there is a smaller amount, we're easier to control. And that's part of the agenda there. But
is that, you know, we could have some psychopaths that have this evil agenda, which I would not put it past anybody. But when you look at the pharmaceutical companies, it's easy in a certain way to get them to follow along because they make a lot more money. So in a lot of ways, the argument is it's all about the pharmaceuticals getting a larger piece of the pie. Or it's we're just so geared to with greed and making more money that it's this whole system that's out of control. Where do you see that argument not being true versus a psychopath, you know, psychopaths that are trying to depopulate?
Well, I mean, it all boils down to a money thing. A lot of them are seriously about money. And I think some of them, like you said, the pharmaceuticals are in it because of the money. Kissinger plays games, Russian roulette with the country because they care not for you and I. They just don't. It's not that there's some psychopathic. I think a lot of these people are smart. Obviously, they have some they are loony to me. All of them are, to even want something like this. But it's just that it's more heartless. Oh, well, you don't have anything to do with my bubble. You're tangible. You're throwawayable. We don't care about you. But in order to accomplish this world, and I think that honestly, some of them actually believe some of the stuff they put out. Like they believe that if the population is smaller, the world's going to be a more peaceful, happy place. And I think they live in this false utopia because they've read things, Karl Marx, and they've been brainwashed and led to believe certain things themselves. So I actually believe that people in the government, some of them in the ones pulling the strings, not everyone, obviously, when I say government, there's good and bad, like you said. But the globalists pulling things, and some of them actually believe the rhetoric, and that's a scary idea, but it's true. And so that's another thing that I think that we're playing with. So we have people who actually believe it and think, oh, well, the world will be a better place without more people in it. Number two, we're tangible. They don't care about you. We're not in their bubble. It's it's that idea. If something happened to somebody in across the ocean in Europe, and they're not in our bubble, we're not going to have anything to do with the do, right? Because we don't know that person. It's the same kind of mentality up there. The only thing is they have a little more money and they have a little more power, and they care not. They care about their bubble, growing their bubble, making their money and empires bigger with more power. And that's really what it boils down to. So those are some of the things I think that we're battling here is, and then you have some, you know, Satan worshipers. I mean, like real satanic people. And so, you know, that plays into it as well. So we've got a little bit of all of it in there. And I think they all have, you know, their various reasons.
Well, and I think that's why it gets so confusing is what are really the agenda? And I think an average person is, there's more goodness in them. I like to think so. And so you think, gosh, they can't possibly do that. And you think that they just can't possibly hurt us like that. And the fact is, if you look at wars and you look at some of the things that are going on, there are people that would do stuff like that. But I also think a lot of people get caught up into the system that of making money, and they're just not conscious of what they're doing. And so there's a bunch, if we can, like you said, if we can wake people up, the people who are not conscious of what they're doing will back out and go, okay, this is not ethical and I won't support this. And things will start to really change.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if we can wake people up to it, I mean, the thing is a lot of people, it's hard for a lot of people to accept that because they want to see humanity in a good light. And look, humans are in a good light. There's good and bad to every side. But when you've read the things that I've read, I would encourage everybody to read that Kissinger memorandum, everybody to read Agenda 2030. When you've read those, you're like, what is wrong with the world? Or what the heck do they know that I don't know? You know, because I used to hear the depopulation agenda. I'm like, they're so full of it. You know, I used to think, whatever, people aren't out to get us. They're just lying. And so when I went in and actually did the research, I found, nope, they actually believe it. They actually believe they're saving the planet by eliminating human species, like this whole global warming lie, which is just bull, in my opinion. I don't know your stance on that, but that's one thing that I think some...
I did a great report, if they want to see. It's some of my best reports don't get as much views. I did a great report on global warming with one of the scientists. He just did a bang-up job on it. But so I recommend people look at that, but keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. I said a lot of the elitists really believe that the world's going to die if we don't decrease the people. Like, there is a huge chunk of that, and that spawns from one of the lies from Agenda 21, which is global warming, which is what the ones pulling the strings are pushing, because that's part of their agenda anyway. It's a scary thought, but at the same time, you can't ignore the facts, you know? So it's like... Yeah.
Well, that's what's so hard is, okay, we can all accept that there'd be nutty people and crazy people that would want to depopulate and think this way. The scary part is if they're the ones in power. Mm-hmm. And that's where you got to connect it to. Because we can, and an average person can accept that, but when they're in power. And I got to tell you, over the last year, I've been running into a lot of cognitive dissonance with myself, because I've been covering a lot of the children's stuff and pedophilia and, you know, but really trying to dig in with people who are involved in the system. And it's hard. You run into these walls and you're realizing, you know, there's something wrong here. And how, you know, people don't realize, you know, like children in the system, they're sexually abused at rates well over 50% in the system.
Yeah, the system is the worst place for children. I know a lot about that topic. I don't talk about it as much as I should, but as far as, you know, kids in the system, and if you've ever, you know, for people who have done adoption or people who have fostered to adopt, and people out there who have fostered or adopted know exactly what I'm talking about. The kids are different as far as you have to break the mentality of what the system has done to them, or break the mentality of what the orphanage has done to them, or just the past drama and troubles. It's raising a child in a completely different way that you've never done before. Whereas, you know, your regular kids who are in a regular home, they love mom loves them, and, you know, you're just happy. But when a kid has been raised in fear, and that's
they're
what they
traumatized.
Are.
They're traumatized children, yes.
Yeah, and so these kids that are raised in fear, not raised in love, grow up thinking fear is good, love is bad. And that's really what I think we see a lot of. And so when these kids get adopted or fostered or whatever, a lot of the times the foster parent has to break that fear cycle and teach them about love. And this is what the system does. It breaks down that love barrier, and it gets rid of it, because they're not really there for those kids. You know, you've got 20 kids in a household and one person working. That's not going to form any kind of love bond between the child and the worker. And so we have a lot of troubled kids, and it's unfortunate, but it's the way that society is right now. It's the way that they have it. But sometimes they become easy to manipulate into one form or another, or to use propaganda or whatever. And I think that's what the system's, you know, kind of geared towards. Well, we'll make them government, not slaves, but technically in mindset, that's what happens. Oh, this is the government takes care of them. The government is their daddy. That's what you're learning, because there is no one there for you, which is very sad, you know, which is why I think, you know, fostering and adoption is a very, very good thing. But when the only person that's there for you is the government when you're young, what do you grow up thinking?
Well, most of those kids end up going on into institutions. I mean, the number is absolutely astronomical. But these kids are in our communities, they're with our children, they're in the schools, and it makes it so important that we face these issues. We can't run away from issues, we got to face them, and we got to go out there and try to deal with it. And I know that it's hard for people to deal with, you know, it's just so, some of these things are so dark. But we have to have the courage to deal with this stuff. I want to, you just with 4th of July just being here, you defended the notion of nationalism and as something good and important, simply as being a patriotic thing. Why has nationalism become a symbol of something more than healthy patriotism? I mean, it really is becoming a symbol of racism and bigotry and superiority issues. Why? Why has that happened?
Well, the left makes everything a racist issue because they really have no other alternative to do it. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here now. It just flickered out. I don't know what happened.
Well, okay, back to that. Yeah, the left makes everything a race issue, like because there is no real combat against it. If you say, I love my country, I'm a nationalist, I'm a patriot, all that simply says being a nationalist by definition is that you love the country that you live in, you support the country that you live in, and you put your country above all others. Well, who wouldn't do that to whatever country they call home? If you live in Greece, do that in Greece. If you live in Spain, do it in Spain. If you live in America, do it in America. And the fact that they are trying to say nationalism bad, Obama is the leader of one of those, Hillary is another leader, many on the Democratic ticket, believe it or not, not that all of it is corrupt, but many on that side are attempting to say, oh, well, loving your country is bad. At the same time, they're going to swear in on the Constitution of the United States and the Bible. I mean, give me a break. Why are you in leadership in my country when you don't even support America? And it boils down to then you know who the real people are and who are not the real people, because the only alternative to nationalism is globalism, New World Order. And I know that is very horrible. And I know that means giving up our constitutional rights. I don't want to do that. That means giving up our arms. So if we give up our guns to this New World Order, who can stand against corruption, against the system? If it were corrupt, no one, especially if we're not armed, and they are. And so this brings a real problem and a real suppression. I mean, Hitler took the guns, Mao took the guns, and these global governments are already about taking the guns. With the United Nations, you can go to disarmament, United Nations. If you Google that, there's a whole website that comes up, and the real and utter agenda there is to de-arm the population for the United Nations Disarmament Center. They actually hire people that is their job, to disarm people. And I think it's resettlement and recruitment or something like that. I'm blanking, but that is their agenda altogether. And I don't want to go that route. So I'm all for the love of my country and America. And this is why they don't like Donald Trump, because he wants to make America great, not globalism great. And they want to go globally minded. I do not.
Well, you know, when you get back to the guns, it's really an easy argument with people if you don't think beyond that. Having guns is a scary thing. They hurt, you know, people are getting killed with guns. But when you look deeper, the places that where there's a higher percentage of people with guns, those are the safest places in our country. And you wouldn't believe it until you actually really do the research. And I did the research and I dug into it, and I found that, you know, because guns sound like they're bad, we don't want everybody in the world having guns, but when you look at it, the places that have the most guns are the safest places. And Chicago is one of the places that is a gun-free zone, and they're completely out of control because the people who get guns are the criminals. The good people are the ones without it.
So true. You know, and that's the thing. Anywhere that there's guns, the crime rate is decreased. But you said it yourself, Detroit and New York, some of the worst gun laws in the country also have some of the worst crimes in the country.
Okay, so we're wrapping this up, so, and I know this is not going to be a question that you can answer in a wrap-up, but what other issues do you feel that are the most urgent that we're dealing with as a country? And I know you have a ton of shows, so people can watch it and dig into those issues more, but what do you think is should be the top of our agenda?
There is a lot of stuff that should be the top. I guess right now, because it's so critical, is the information war. I mean, they're attempting to shut down channels like mine, channels like yours. We know YouTube, they go after the advertisers on YouTube and say, okay, well, we're pulling all our ads if you stop this and this and this and this. And a lot of these are part of the left agenda. We have people like David Barak with Media Matters paying people to troll the internet. This is a document. Again, this what I'm saying comes from Media Matters document. They can Google Media Matters document. Usually that brings it up. But that says he's hired hundreds and thousands of people to basically attempt to discredit us, to put us under the radar, if you will, but to do things like get politically active. We have George Soros funded organizations where he pays people to riot and get out there and protest. And so that's why when you go out there and see thugs like Antifa thugs, they cover their faces because they're paid a lot. Some of them are, not all of them, but some of them are paid to do what they do, and they don't fight back because they are not really there always for a cause other than what they're paid to do. And so we have a lot of this tension, and then people see this and they think, oh, well, I'm going to go stand on that side. And so people will join in on the action with a few of the thugs that are out there causing chaos. So all of that spawns from the information war, which they are doing any and everything right now to shut us down, calling us fake, taking away the money handles. So I think that we just need to grow. And that's one crucial for now that's hitting us, but obviously there's a lot of things on the table.
Well, has your income been severely cut based on the attacks that are going on, and how are you making it?
Yeah. It's been cut by like 75%. YouTube has cut it pretty significantly. So that's huge. And the other thing is we just have, you know, I have a manager that I work with. And so we have to find our own advertisers more or less. So he's been helpful in that area. I'll bring in, you know, certain advertisers on the channel every once in a while. And the truth is you have advertisers on every channel. And people get so upset. Well, you're bringing in, you're just trying to sell, blah, blah, blah. That's not what it's about. If I'm able to do what I do, I can't make $1,000 a month doing it.
You have to make a decent living, right? I mean, yeah. And so it's hard. Yes.
I have an architectural style degree. I can go and make three digits if I need to, you know, but I choose to share the information instead because this is so near and dear to my heart. And so, and I think a lot of that is just trolling people, but so we have to get more of our own advertisers now, which has kind of been helpful. So
that's okay. Well, good. And people can get, where can they reach all of your stuff? I know you have a YouTube channel, which is obvious, but you're also on many, many other blogs and do articles for your own site and for others. Can you talk about that a little bit as we end this thing?
Yeah, I have a website. It's lisahaven.news. People can subscribe there and you'll get, you know, emails every once in a while. Also on YouTube, if you subscribe there, just plug in Lisa Haven and I'll pop right up there on YouTube. And those are my two main ways. I also post periodically on Before It's News and other outlets as well. But those are my two main, is lisahaven.news and then just directly with YouTube.
Well, people need to go check you out. You are amazing. I love it when I see someone just really focused on what they're trying to do. So good job.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate you as well. You're doing amazing.
Thank you for joining me today. And I want to tell everybody that if you want to hear this interview again or any of my other ones, sarahwestall.com. And also there are links to my Patreon account if you feel so inclined to help out the show, I would really appreciate it. And I also want to tell you to have an amazing weekend and an amazing rest of the day.